Hello and welcome to another episode of the Alternative F1 Show, brought to you and powered by Honda. I'm with my buddies, pals, amigos. I'm going to go from worst to first. Ollie Wilson, how are you, sir?
Oh my God, I can't believe we're starting with me. So shocked. I'm good, mate. How are you doing? This is a chance to get a few things off our chest about Formula One and a chance to work with my partner in crime in bullying you before we started recording today. So I'm enjoying it already.
Yes. For those who don't know, I'm in a Vodafone commercial, and Grace has done the perfect imitation of me.
You don't need to say no more. Listen, this is how it looks, okay? Hello? Yes? It's me. Wow. I'm looking out the window of the Shard. Can you see me?
I hate you guys. I actually do. Grace, my friend, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. I honestly feel like 4 week break is needed just to collect our thoughts about what happened in that last race. And people are going to be talking about everything that happened for many more weeks than four, but I'm excited to get into it.
Well, let's go back, because obviously the last race was the Australian Grand Prix. Ollie, I'm going to start off with you quickly. What was your highlights or what was your standout moments? Obviously, for those who know, we capture our thoughts in our What We Learned series that's on the Instagram. But we will do it again for you guys because we love you so much. Ollie, hit him.
Highlight for me was the race eventually finishing behind a safety car, which sounds really boring to say, but it seemed like a very smart decision in the end that was being taken rather than trying to force a frantic finish, which they tried to do anyway. And that's how we ended with the two Alpines careering into each other with two laps to go. I think it also was great, the reception that the safety car finish had, because F1 fans said, this is the smart way to finish races. Why didn't this happen earlier today? And perhaps why didn't this happen in 2021 Abu Dhabi, which of course was great to get all that building up again, especially as Michael Massey made his return to the paddock in Australia.
Shameless.
Isn't it good when Michael Massey's first race back in a Formula One paddock ends in finishing controversy of trying to get a grandstand finish? You couldn't write that script any better. I absolutely loved it.
Is it like this, is this the perfect a comparison? Is it like someone you don't want to be at the party just coming along anyway? Someone who wasn't invited. No one wants him there. Everyone doesn't like the person.
Well, beef, I think it depends on the side of the fence you're on,
Okay.
For a lot of people, he did them a favor. But yeah, I'm not saying I'm one of those people.
That's right.
Don't look at what I'm wearing. I'm just saying, a lot of people are willing to welcome him back into the paddock. I love that the conspiracy theorists have really come out the woodwork, because it was lap 58 again where the controversy happened. And that's the same as in Abu Dhabi 2021. So it was the perfectly, like Ollie said, perfectly curated, written Michael Massey returneth experience. And I'm here for it. I'm here to see the drama. I love to watch people lose their minds over his weird universe energy influence that he has on the paddock and over the races. It's crazy.
Can we just call you out a second, Grace? Because you're saying it worked out well for some people. Don't look what I'm wearing at the moment, yet you've got a giant Max Verstappen just over your shoulder there. I mean,
the beneficiaries are in the room with us right now. I can't lie. He's here somewhere.
Also, it's really ominous because it's like Verstappen's just in the dark in the background, like he's peering over your shoulder a bit.
I can't say anything bad about Red. So please don't ask me to. Thank you.
I'm not allowed to say what I think, but congratulations to Max.
Come on, why are we here then? Tell us what
another race controversially won.
You must have been impressed with the way that he moved himself through the field and the fact that he's become clinical. This is way worse for Formula One than a 2021 Max Verstappen that's willing to dive up on Lewis Hamilton at Monza. This is Max Verstappen that's going, I've got a great car. I don't need to force the issue. I'm going to let Hamilton through. I'm just going to get you later. Don't worry about it. That's That's like psychopath level clinical. And it's a worry for Formula One that Verstappen is thinking like that as opposed to a reckless Verstappen, because a clinical Verstappen is far more dangerous, particularly in a fast Red Bull as well. I wouldn't want to be anybody else on that grid right now.
Yeah.
Well, we've had the reckless stuff for so long. That is a nice refreshing change to have clean racing.
In the beginning, there's good and bad everywhere. But I have to echo that, because you've got to think only 12 cars managed to finish. And with three restarts, it was a minefield out there. You've got teammates crashing into each other, people spinning and recovering, people spinning and not recovering. He did well. He did well to hang on to that lead.
Alpine is one I noticed obviously straight away. Two brand new teammates just colliding into each other and just taking them both out of the points. I just don't understand that. It was like a few minutes after, a little while after, obviously they did a video when they're on the private jet, like everything's hunky dory, but it must be beef. You can't like, if you knock me out of points completely unnecessarily. I don't know whose fault is it, Grace?
Well, Gasly was in front. He lost it and crashed into the wall. There wasn't anything Ocon could have done. So technically, yes, Gasly was at fault. There was the whole debacle about whether he's going to get any more penalty points on his license, get that one race ban, because I've been obsessing over how many penalty points have been on each of the driver's licenses. And Gasly's been at the top, and he will be at the top until May. So we've still got to tread carefully. But I don't think there was a lot he could have done to avoid that crash. Either of them, really. Really, really unfortunate. But this is how it goes with these restarts is, okay, we've got 1, 2, 3 laps of racing left. Let's go balls to the walls. Let's see what I can do in terms of making up places. This is the final push. If everyone is on that energy, you're going to get these moments where people are being more reckless if they're not up 30 seconds in front after three corners like Verstappen is. And it was unfortunate. I found it interesting that the two Alpines were doing so well in the points, and then suddenly they sort of swapped places entirely with the whole McLaren team, who have not been scoring points for the whole first two races of the season. Suddenly they're both in the points and Alpine are both out. Like, what a turn of the tables for those two teams. I think there's a lot of focus this year on Pierre and Esteban's previous friendship and relationship and how it has broken and now it needs to be mended. And there's this sort of running joke or assumption that they're being told by their PR managers to act pally-pally. I think, yes, it will be a disappointing day for them both and for the team, no points after a really exciting race and a promising race. But I don't know if I believe that they're secretly at war and they're mortal enemies and it's all a big PR stunt. I think a team won't work well like that. I mean, the proof will be in the pudding, but we'll see. We'll see how
we go. It's a reverse, 2016 Rosberg Hamilton, best mates in karting growing up, really good friends. And then, Hamilton decides to spin and drive into the back of Rosberg in Spain and everything falls apart, although it had been building, of course, way before then. I think this is great for Alpine in that Gasly is at fault for the crash, as you say, Grace. Ocon can't do anything about it to get out of the way. It's a really unfortunate coming together in the end. But they can both blame the FIA and the decision-making around that restart and the idea to have the restart. So it gives them a joint focus of blame. So nobody's really finger-pointing as much inside Alpine as well. So whether there is a potential for a tumultuous relationship or not, this sort of incident isn't going to cause a problem. It's when they're actually fighting on track and one dives up the inside of the other and maybe they make contact later on in the season, because they're both two really gutsy drivers that want to get the most out of a car that has clearly fallen massive behind their main rivals from last year in Aston Martin, and were only, McLaren. I don't know what Big Daddy Zaki was praying to in Australia to get both McLarens into the points, but Big Daddy Zaki prayed to whatever the deity was correctly.
Stop saying that.
Look, he is. Look, wouldn't you want him to be your pops? He seems like a really nice, friendly guy.
I thought you were going to say it a third time. Then I was ready to quit.
Zaki baby's the man, don't worry about it.
It's too many words.
You're not making it so easy for me to do clips, I'll tell you. Right, so let's get into there are some other things that happened in the Australian Grand Prix. Don't worry, we'll get to them as well, but let's get to the juicy bits, because I am a headline person and I can't help but go for the juicy gossip. So obviously, let's do the low-hanging fruit first of all. I'll start off with Ollie. a lot of fans were clamoring for Max Verstappen to get a grid penalty or some type of fine or something, because obviously his in lining up the car, his car touched the line or was on the line. And then there was apparently two other drivers, I've forgotten the names already, who've actually done a similar type of thing and been fined or lost points or something like that. Can you clear that up for those people who are hating on Max?
Yeah, he's on the line. This is like the most ridiculous getting frustrated at Max. I can understand people getting frustrated about the 2021 season. I can understand people getting frustrated about Max early on in his career. I'm not even a Red Bull fan, but Max Verstappen car in Australia is still touching the line. If it's touching the line, it's legal, then that's fine. So we've seen the FIA try and clamp down and be far more litigious with the rules in Formula One in the last few years. For instance, Lewis Hamilton and the piercings debacle that will probably continue to run on at various points throughout our time watching Formula One. But the FIA are trying to play by the rules as much as possible, particularly after Abu Dhabi 2021. And if they're doing that, then they're doing it correctly. Verstappen's car's on the line. We're playing by the rules. We're not going to punish him. Conversation over, in my opinion. I know it sounds like really miserable not to throw a curveball in of like, but it's happened in the past. But we're talking about now in this moment. We're talking about Formula One under the guise of Liberty Media, under the guise of the FIA trying to be as I say, litigious as possible. Kind of job's done, really, in the conversation with that for me.
Grace?
Oh, I have to agree with Ollie. On the line, yes. Not over the line. I'm not here to debate that, because if there's one thing the FIA have proven this season so far, because we've had somebody's grid position called into question at every race we've had, which I can't remember the last time this has happened three times in a row. So one thing the FIA have proven this season is that they will look at that and penalise it. And so it's not... I don't think anybody can say that it's unfair that they didn't penalise Max. They looked at it. He wasn't over the line. If he were, he would have been penalised. Like, that's my true belief. And that's all I have to say on the matter, I'm afraid, Dre. How about you? What do you think?
Let's move on to another story. We're still staying with the juicy Red Bull drama that keeps on giving. So there's been a lot of articles written from my very quick research that I've just done that are saying Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez can pretty much, futuristically no longer be teammates because obviously there's beef. Now, I'll start off with you, Grace. Now, obviously, this rivalry looks like it's just like a clash of personalities or clash of ethics, which one person may have more ethics than the other. What is your view about this problem that Red Bull have? Is it a problem? Is it smoke and nothing? Or is there real fire to this?
I personally think that it's fine. If I were in Perez's shoes, I don't see myself getting a better gig than where I am now. Even if it's in Max Verstappen's shadow, even if it's constantly being compared to a goal that I can't reach or being put down because I'm the second driver, all of this. All teammates clash, or most teammates clash. They will have a moment. They will have an Alpine double DNF moment where it's rough and things come out on the radio. Guarantee you worse things have been said behind closed doors that we don't know about. Just because we see some of the beef and hear some of the beef doesn't mean that's all there is to the story. And passions run high in these moments. I think it's fine. It will depend on how he delivers this year. That's Perez. If he can continue to deliver to the level that he was at last year, I think his seat will be fine.
Okay.
There's a lot of speculation in the community, with the pundits, everything, about who could possibly take Perez's place. And that second Red Bull seat is such a point of contention, such a point of discussion every year. I think Perez has been the best suited that we've seen in the past few years. And I don't think there are many people who could or would be willing to take that seat for next year or beyond at present.
Right. If I'm being fair, just before I bring you in, Ollie, like this is a similar situation that's happening with Mercedes, where everything was kumbaya before. until the number two driver, in theory, becomes as good as the number one driver. So there seems to be tension rising in Mercedes as well, if I'm just being fair. Is it one, like with drivers like Max and Lewis Hamilton, is it like an unattractive position to actually go in there knowing that pretty much there's going to be problems if you are actually competing with them, or is that a load of nonsense from my point?
It's always going to be in the back of your mind, but if you're at the level of competition that requires you to be an F1 driver, that's not going to be the first thing on your mind. It's going to be, get me to a top team, get me in a fast car, get me winning races and championships. Because yes, it's a team sport, but it's an individual sport. None of them are there to play second driver, to play nice. And we've seen that.
But they kind of are. Like, you know, there's instructions without it. Like, I mean, to be honest with you, like in Ferrari, it looks like everyone's, you know, both on the same level, even though driving, they're not. But there seems to be a little bit of orders indirectly going on. Because they tried to give Max an order and it just wasn't working. When they gave Perez an instruction about how to keep his pace at a certain level, then he was questioning that. So like, I just don't see how there's not orders.
Drivers are always going to want to compete and be at their fastest. Look at Danny Ricciardo and Lando Norris in Monza. When Ricciardo's leading the race, it's a 1-2 for McLaren either way. But Lando's on the radio saying, I'm faster, let me through. And McLaren just had to play the smart game. I think they probably learned from when Raikkonen won the title and Hamilton and Alonso were fighting each other so much that allowed Raikkonen to take that world championship for Ferrari. They've learned that, look, just stick with what we've got, consolidate the great position. Let's not have our drivers fighting each other all the time. And to be honest, I think Red Bull will play that very well. Sergio Perez is a driver that is able to win Grand Prix. He's shown that already in Saudi Arabia, for instance. It was a great weekend for him. But at the same time, unfortunately, he's not Max Verstappen. Red Bull will favour Max Verstappen because they have a huge long-term deal worth a lot of money with him. And Perez, unfortunately, I think, knows he's going to be there as a number two. Whether he says it or not in public, deep down, he must know that he will get chances to win Grand Prix, but Verstappen is the better driver and will push that car that little bit more to consistently be ahead of him anyway. So Red Bull will favour him. And it all but depends, I think, on whether Perez can check his ego at the door or if he wants to do what Danny Ricciardo did, which was, I don't want to have to compete for first spot in this team. I want to go somewhere else to try and be the number one driver at a team and have that built around me. Because Ricciardo was in the same position that Perez was at Red Bull many years ago. And he decided to walk out on Red Bull, go to Renault. That was an absolute disaster. Went to McLaren. That was an absolute disaster. And now he's suddenly in a reserve driver position back at Red Bull, which is causing problems for Perez. But it's also a big warning sign for a lot of drivers at a lot of top teams that it is probably better to be where you are, even if you're the number two. You might get lucky. Eddie Irvine for Ferrari had a chance to compete for a title finally because Michael Schumacher went out at the British Grand Prix and broke his legs. And Irvine was suddenly Ferrari's top gun. Things like that can happen in F1. And so Perez just needs to be patient if he wants to get that chance. Otherwise, he's going to end up going somewhere where he's in a much weaker car. And that is just terrible for a driver that's used to competing up at the top. And if you're leaving to try and win titles, you need to get very lucky, like perhaps Alonso, and step into an Aston Martin at the perfect moment if you're at a winning constructor already.
Slight pivot. Lewis Hamilton has got a petition going on from a lot of fans, and it's not me. I'm not in this petition. Just find out about it, just being honest.
You have signed it, though.
Yeah, I'm going to look for your name right now, actually. I think I can fact-check that.
Several times over. Click.
See how many of them work at Verge magazine as well on that list.
Just 50 employees. I didn't know you had that many. Crazy. Yeah.
Right. So tell me about this petition for him to be able to get his eighth world title. Ollie.
Well, this is kind of coming about because Felipe Massa is dredging up some old history, shall we say. 2008, Felipe Massa loses out on the Drivers' World Championship because Lewis Hamilton passes Timo Glock in the wet on the final lap of the Brazilian Grand Prix to take victory with a fifth-place finish in Brazil, winning the championship by a point. And Massa and Ferrari thought they'd won it, and unfortunately were given the bad news that pretty much even the TV camera broadcast missed, which was ridiculous. Like, we were all sat there at home going, what is going on? And McLaren was celebrating. Hamilton gets his first ever Drivers' World Championship. Now, that year at Singapore in 2008, that was the infamous Piquet gate, where an intentional crash by the Benetton, run by Flavio Briatore, who's never been allowed in the F1 since, basically caused a chain reaction of a disaster for Felipe Massa, because a safety car came out and Ferrari botched a pit stop behind the safety car, which meant Massa finished 13th out of the points. And if he'd stayed in the points at any point in that race, he would eventually have won the title. So Felipe Massa is basically challenging that because everybody at Benetton that was involved in the in Crashgate in Singapore was punished, that the result shouldn't stand because of Singapore, and that he was basically cost a Drivers' World Championship because of an illegal act that took place on the Formula One circuit. And everybody's gone, well, if that's happening, then Lewis Hamilton should get his title from 2021 because of Abu Dhabi, because if he's challenging that, then it wasn't fair what happened with the safety car. So we get to dredge up this whole argument again with Michael Massey, as the FIA have said that, you know, Michael Massey's position became untenable because of 2021 Abu Dhabi. And people are going to jump and make two and two turn into seven and say that therefore the result shouldn't stand. It should have finished behind the safety car, that it didn't go through the proper procedure, and that actually Lewis Hamilton should be given that Drivers' World Championship. But how far are we going to go back, Dre? Are the 66 Germany World Cup team going to go, actually, the video evidence showed the ball didn't cross the line. So, actually, I think we should replay this game again. Let's get all the old lads out, get them on the pitch for 90 minutes, get Wembley filled, and let's replay that World Cup final. I mean, where are we going with this? How far back are we going to go? I kind of understand Felipe Massa and the frustration, because it was a heinous act that took place in that Singapore Grand Prix.
Right.
And it's worth a punt. But starting now an online petition for Abu Dhabi 2021 is just like...
I think it's different, though, because I don't know how new the information is, but the basis of Massa's appeal to the championship classification of 2008 is based on relatively new information that the FIA knew about Crashgate before that season had ended. So none of the penalties came in until the season after, as far as I remember. I wasn't there, as in, as far as I've read up about it, because I wasn't watching F1 back then. But I'm pretty sure the penalties came in the season after. So there's now this new information that suddenly, during the season that it happened, the FIA knew and didn't put any penalties in place that would impact the very season it happened in, is something that he's appealing, essentially, saying, well, okay, well, it's all well and good taking away points from the following season, but that had a knock-on impact there and then on myself, other teams that you knew about and didn't do anything about. In action, as an action, I want to appeal. I think that is very different to the FIA making a 5-second decision in Abu Dhabi 2021. Their ruling is final. A lot of people didn't like it. I personally didn't agree with what they chose for that procedure, for the safety car restart, but they chose it. We have to accept it. We have to move on. We have to move on. It's very, very different. It's less insidious. It's less suspicious that the FIA was sitting on information for however many months of a season and not doing anything with it, to, okay, the FIA have made a poor decision in earnest. Can you say in earnest fairly? You probably can't. They've made what some would call is a poor decision in a split second, and that's what has essentially altered the outcome of the entire season. But it was there and then at the 11th hour. I think the circumstances are so different, you can't really compare the two, but people love to compare to the past. That's all we have, is, well, when this happened on this race in this year, the procedure was entirely different. And that's all F1 Twitter essentially is. But I don't think you can compare these two. I really don't.
But from a sporting, you know, point of view, it's the equivalent of being, let's say England was like 8-0 up. And then the referee decided last minute of the game, say, actually, last goal wins. whilst Germany are through on goal.
Oh, completely. Completely like, agree.
That's what happened. So therefore, there are some fans
it was
think
rough.
That there should be an asterisk and will continue to put an asterisk on that. Yeah, you know, pretty much
I think will.
A title that's taken seriously.
Yeah,
do you think that Red Bull and Max Verstappen wanted to win it that way? Obviously, in that moment, it was everything that they wanted. I don't doubt the joy was completely sincere that they showed and everything. It was an unbelievable finish to an unbelievable season. And it was quite literally, it should never have happened, though, as Gray said. But do you not think there has been a period of reflection where Max Verstappen has looked back and gone, whether they put an asterisk next it officially or not, the public opinion is always going to be that I was handed that Drivers' World Championship. And that's why I think last year, for instance, it was so important for him to keep gunning for records to show that he was without a doubt the best driver in the best car. But there's going to be an asterisk next to last season's title because of the budget cap spent. This guy, without a doubt, will want to win a Drivers' World Championship without any furor around it. And I'm sure that he looks at 2021 and goes, I wish it hadn't happened that way. I'd rather it happened a different way. It's just, I mean, my funny thing about this is that, like, are people doing this because they're worried that Hamilton will actually lose his Driver World Championship, his first
this
ever
is my
one.
Thing.
And they're like, oh, well, give him this one instead. So he's still
it's going to be net neutral. If both of the appeals go through, it's going to be net neutral. He'll still be a 7-time world champion. It'll just be taking one off the back and adding one to the front. Like, what's it worth, really? What is it worth?
Well, I mean, for Felipe Massa, it's probably worth quite a lot, I imagine.
Yeah, my guy doesn't even have one. Like, don't be greedy.
But then, does Massa really want to win a world title in court, like, almost 10 years
after it happened?
I think personally that. Like, that is sad if you're doing that, taking that.
We think it's sad that George had to hand the trophy back to Alonso a week later after a race.
That
a podium
that
finish.
There, we need to talk about that because that was just absolutely sad again. But the problem is like, all right, let's talk about it from a casual fans' point of view. Like, yes, hardcore fans. There are people that are just not 100% into it. They don't live and breathe it, just like any sport. Now, you lose people if the rules don't seem hard set. It's pretty much like VAR in the Premier League or football in general. If it's like someone's finger was offside and then the whole goal is ruled offside because of a finger or an elbow or someone's like, I don't know, shoulder, then it just becomes a bit ludicrous and you lose people to other sports. So if F1 are trying to gain people to watch this sport, because obviously, you know, to be honest with you, it's not the most competitive sport at the moment. If you're looking at championships, let's say Americans, they like championships, they like there to be a chance for someone else to win. If the rules keep on changing every week, and it comes across to me, it does. Like, there shouldn't be a debate about rules. It should just be like, this is it from the start of the season.
Why are we debating then? Why do you ask me the question about Verstappen on the grid? The rules are he's on the line, so he's on the line. Right. There's no debate about it. I mean, this is what the FIA are desperately trying to solve within their own ranks and in their decision making at the moment. Why they've gone back and rewritten the rules after what happened in Abu Dhabi is that they're wanting to make sure that everything is steadfast and completely written down, so there's no discrepancies at all. The trouble is in sport is that there are always moments that you don't necessarily foresee taking place or things that will happen that suddenly people have to react on the fly. And that then creates a problem because either people make rash decisions in the heat of a moment in a sporting event, or there's just a moment that the rules haven't accounted for at some point as well. But F1 shouldn't be done to get new fans in to make it competitive. F1 should be done to keep the integrity of a sport. I mean, that's why true F1 fans should, not true F1 fans, that sounds really elitist, but long-term F1 fans, real, like, proper petrol head, watch every single session and then some. That's why they were so frustrated by Abu Dhabi, because it wasn't how it should have been done in the regulations. That's why they were frustrated about the end of Australia, because it felt like they were creating drama for drama's sake. And that's why people are getting frustrated with things like sprint races and the adaptation of a sprint race that's going to have even more of an impact, perhaps, and having a sprint race in Baku on a street circuit that's already incredibly dangerous coming up later on this month. F1 is starting to turn into a sports entertainment business rather than a sport. And I don't want to have fabricated wrestling storylines behind the scenes about how Lewis Hamilton's uncle used to be Max Verstappen's best friend and then they fell out and now they're going one-on-one in a hot lap around Monaco to see who gets the title of the Continental Championship. I don't need that.
Oh my God.
Right. So I'm going to move us away from this Red Bull.
That was ranty. Apologies.
That was amazing. Do more of that. More of this.
He's, I've never seen any such passion from a quote-unquote non-Red Bull fan. Anyway, I'm going to... we're going to move to this new section called Something or Nothing, where I read the headlines of everything I can find on the internet. And you guys tell me if it's newsworthy or not, or if it's just gossip or not. So something or nothing, right? So we won't go into the F1 agrees a partnership with Paramount Plus. I don't think that's helping things regarding the rumors of them creating drama on purpose for views. But Christian Horner has denied Russell's Red Bull F1 sandbagging claims. Start off with you, Grace. Something or nothing.
Denied Red Bull's sandbagging claims.
Basically, that the car is actually, they're not performing as well as the car actually could. They're just like kind of slowing it down. So the car could be going faster.
Nothing.
Something.
Nothing. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ooh, go on.
Red Bull are trying to keep viewers as interested as anybody. Look at the way they market everything. It's all about attention, attention. They turn up the engine and find an extra few miles per hour that gives them an even bigger advantage. The season already looks boring enough as it is anyway. They don't want to win a huge canter. They want to do it. And then while everybody else is catching up in the next few years, they just hit a button that goes, oh, here's 15% more power. Unlucky chaps. And boom, they're still going off to the races. I think there's something in it, particularly in a budget cap era where development is so costly and so difficult to do as they continue to reduce the budget cap. If they're turning down the engine to keep us a little more entertained and to just, you know, keep everybody else in their pocket a little bit more, and then they can turn it up later on. That's a really interesting one, particularly if you're worried about Red Bull dominance for the next, like, 5 years of the sport. Could be something.
Okay. Ocon says that there's no point in racing if Alpine doesn't believe that it can replicate Aston Martin F1. Start with you, Ollie. Something or nothing?
Nothing. This is competitive juices. Like, oh, well, if we're not here to win, then we might as well go home. Yeah, there we go. Like, it's every sports athlete ever. Like, come on.
Yeah. Grace? Also nothing, because, like, even Mercedes can't keep up with the Aston Martin. Like, I'm sorry, what, are you suddenly a top-tier team now? Like, that is an unfair benchmark to be setting yourself. Last year, maybe. This year, don't bother with that. Don't bother with that mindset. You're only going to set yourself up for failure.
Right, Grace. Ferrari isn't changing its 2023 F1 car concept to copy Red Bull. Something or nothing?
I believe the statement is true. So something? I don't understand.
I'm in this section
this
already.
Game.
I'm loving it.
I think that's true because Ferrari will stubbornly go down in flames of their own making, of their own design, designer flames, designer red flames with a horse on them. I don't see them trying to copy, frankly, any other teams, to be honest. I don't see it.
Ollie?
I say nothing, but I want to add an asterisk that Haas have said the complete opposite. And Gunther Steiner said, we want to copy that Red Bull car, which I see as something, because there's nothing I like the idea of more than nobody else being able to compete with Red Bull except for Gunther Steiner and Haas. And give me all the radio messages of Gunther Steiner in a title fight. That'll be drama of the highest order on Netflix or whoever is making any documentary around F1 that season. So the ultimate swear off between Horner and Steiner, I think.
Right. Something or nothing. I'm coming to you, Ollie, first. Is Haas' faith in Hülkenberg has been vindicated?
It's kind of something, because it feels like a real stab at Mick Schumacher, who Gunther Steiner had a pop at about the cost of the number of crashes that he had last year and how that was racking up the bill. And we recently made some content about how costly each, like the most 10 most expensive parts of an F1 car are. And it's not cheap. It's really not cheap. So if you go around breaking them, it's not good. And Hülkenberg is going to be a slightly more considered driver, shall we say, than the young, slightly more reckless, abandoned Mick Schumacher, who Günther Steiner said, the guy even crashed on an in-lap to the pits. What are we doing here? So, like, I mean, I think it's, yeah, I think it's a bit of a cheap pop at Mick, but yeah, they've gone safe. They've gone with Magnussen and Hülkenberg. So I think it's, I think it's a little something. It's not completely nothing.
Grace?
Something. I think Günther Steiner speaks for everybody.
Are you part of a cult?
Well, I love Günther. Who doesn't love Günther? If you don't love Günther, that's a red flag. Speaking of red flags, he would have been, Hülkenberg would have been fourth, were it not for the reset after that final red flag. I'm just saying, you know, I don't know if I'd have seen Schumacher up there. I don't like to make comparisons. I hadn't even thought about the comparison to Schumacher until you mentioned it, Ollie, so thank you for that. But generally, I like Hulk. I think he has been so close to a podium so many times, and we are not done seeing any of that. And so I think absolutely something, and I couldn't agree more. I'm excited to see what he does this season.
Coming back to you, Grace, something or nothing. Mercedes are not thinking of a plan B in case of Lewis Hamilton quitting F1.
Nothing. That's a lie. Sorry, that's a lie. He nearly didn't come back for 2022. You've always got to have a plan B. You've got to do a Ferrari. You've got to have a plan Z. I know there's a long succession line for that seat. And a lot of talent coming up in the Mercedes area, but my guy has proven he could be flighty. He's feisty. He will stand up for what he believes in. And you don't know what's going to happen. No one does. You definitely can't be operating like this without a plan B. Absolutely not.
Ollie?
I kind of agree with Grace, but I'm saying it's nothing because it's a lie. It's just a lie. To think that Mercedes don't have a plan. I never bought that Hamilton was going to leave after 2021. I thought that was a wonderful marketing and media campaign throughout the off season of stay silent and then post my little Arizona, Nevada desert Grand Canyon picture. But yeah, it's nothing. They've got a laundry list of drivers, I'm sure, and a huge amount of money tucked away somewhere to just go, we'll get whoever we want next to be number two behind George Russell. So yeah, it's a flat out lie. So it's nothing, nothing.
I think after many years of success, would you stick around if you're not bagging wins for two seasons in a row after always having bagged wins? Like,
hey, look at Nando though. Nando Alonso is sticking around and suddenly he's reaping the rewards of his patient and team.
He took a little break though, and sometimes it takes a little break to reset and then come back stronger, and we might see that happen.
Right, last one. The Verstappen F1 sprint race quit threat is bluff, all smoke, nothing. Grace, coming back to you.
Something, because it's true.
Wait, is it? It's a bluff?
It's true that it's a bluff. So something.
Okay.
He's not
actually being truthful.
No, his, I think, you know, his persona in the media, made out by the media, I think, as often as him, is the tough, stubborn, dig my heels in, get what I want kid, right? Mm-hmm. This is just another example of that. He's got a long, incredible career ahead of him that I'm sure in 5 years' time we'll be sick to death of talking about. Can I see him leaving? No.
Ollie?
100% I could see him walking if F1 became the farce. The fact that he was so staunch of like, I'm not going to do Drive to Survive. I'd rather have my own reality TV show in the Netherlands than do Drive to Survive. The fact he's won two world titles now, and the fact, touching on what I mentioned earlier, he's the cold, calculated Max Verstappen who loves racing. Cannot stress enough how much this guy loves racing. So much so that he throws his toys out the pram when an e-racing competition servers fail midway through a race And he says, fine, I'll just never do this again. I'll set up my own one. I'll go somewhere else. The guy loves to compete on track in racing's, I guess, purest formats. And I 100% think that he feels that Formula One is becoming more and more of a circus by adding in things like sprint races and then changing them and putting them at six events now this season. And he doesn't like the pantomime and the idea of doing attention for the sake of attention in Formula One. And I could see him now with two world championships in his back pocket, surely a third coming this year as well. Excuse me. I could see him definitely going, look, this is a pantomime. I'll go somewhere. I'll go into endurance racing and become the best at that until you guys sort yourselves out, because I just don't want to be around this absolute mass. Yeah.
But this has been his destiny for his whole life. Do you really think he'd walk?
I almost get the feeling Verstappen is a bit like Nico Rosberg. You know, Rosberg won the championship and was like, I've done it. I don't need to do anymore. I walk away. I could see Verstappen having that similar sort of attitude. Very kind of similar demeanor with that, in my opinion. I don't know the guy personally.
I can't see him anywhere else.
He could, well, but he could.
There's a few fans who would like to see him somewhere else. But Mercedes fans are completely sick of him, so I think they'll be helping him, driving him wherever he needs to go, away from the sport.
We need to have the sprint races, a Mario Kart with shells and bananas and stuff like that, and that'll get Max straight out of Formula One in a heartbeat. He'll be like, no, this is not what racing is all about, so I'm quitting. Yep.
Oh, good. Did you hear this? My gosh.
I love it. Guys, thank you again for listening to us. Grace, what have you got coming up?
I am going to visit an F1 team for the first time ever this weekend. I'm so excited.
Can you reveal or not?
No, I can't. Not until I'm there. I want to keep the mystery. What am I without my mystery?
Are you wearing green for a reason?
No, I wish it was Aston Martin, but I can tell you it's not them.
Okay.
But yes, that will be very exciting.
I've got a feeling. I know who it is because, judging from the apparel, there's a lot of supporting going on there. So
I can't. It's not Red Bull either. Stop guessing because you're going to whittle it down then.
I see your headphones on your head there. Arrows, maybe.
I see you've got four different shades of blue in your quilt. Is it these four teams? No? Okay. I'll get back to you soon.
Mercedes, please, if Grace does come to your place, please can you have a word and can you get her out with some decent stuff, please? Because this is unacceptable, this loyalty to
Red Bull.
And also a Lewis Hamilton or McLaren, a poster or statue or whatever that is.
I've got golf over here.
Nice.
Vintage golf. I'll let you know. Well, you'll see on my socials a bit of content from that this weekend. And I'm going with one of the girls from F Series as well, my girl group, which would be nice. And
shout
otherwise,
out F Series.
Just excited to see. Yeah, shout out to F Series. And otherwise, just excited for the season to get back on play again because this 4-week break is absolutely. It's killing me, man. I can't do it.
Ollie?
I will be on BT Sport this Friday doing the Toulouse against Lyon game. And GP Fans Global, gpfans.com, wherever you are in the world, on YouTube and, of course, on the website as well for all of the musings on F1. O_J_Wilson on social media, which is way too many underscores for anybody's liking. But I do like to, dot the T's, cross the I's, keep everything underline so it makes sense, and that's about it, really. Loads of other stuff popping around the place, so just follow me on social, I guess,
and keep a lookout. We've got some exciting things coming up with McLaren pretty soon. I've told these guys that just before we recorded. Very exciting stuff that we've got going. I'm quite interested to see where Grace is going to be, so I'll be watching her like a stalker. Every single story she puts out, I'll be the first one on there.
Creeping
and see.
I can try and sneak you in as my PA if you like.
Ooh, okay. All right. I will be there to hold your bags. It's fine. Except for if it's one team. Now, catch up with more of our content on www.vergemagazine.co.uk. And we will catch you guys next week because the long wait is almost over for more racing. And I'll see what other news I can actually find on the interweb. Fun turning.
Lovely job.
We'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
Bye.
Go birds.